Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode one. Actually, I think it's 6:24. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm number one because I always go first.
It's true.
Yeah. Why does he always go first? Not even alphabetical.
It's because I always go first and Jeff always ends it. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, I just have always we've only ever done like one show in the same room together. But I've always envisioned, I don't think we were even sitting that way because there was a bunch more of us, but I've always envisioned it as like going around a table and Tony's to my left and you, Earl, would be directly across from me and Jeff would be off to my right. Doesn't make any sense. It's just something we've always done.
It happens.
But Earl is here as well.
Yeah, I don't have any fancy numerical values to add to anything.
It's all right. Jeff is not with us. He is
Don't say it like that.
So Jeff is fine. He is taking care of his little four-legged friend. Some health issues there that have been going on for a while. So best of luck to his little furry buddy. Hopefully that pulls through. That's been going on for a while. So
a little less luck to my furry buddy who hid my AirPods underneath the oven.
Is that one of the new furry buddies?
Yeah. Well, so I had those two kittens. It's one kitten now because the other one was only like for like 2 weeks. But he's gone now. But so the other one is here. But yes, he moved my AirPods, which I had foolishly left on my kitchen table. He like knocked the case on the floor. Apparently the AirPods came out, and then he played with them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Still operational.
Oh yeah. I spent all day looking for them because I am nothing without my AirPods. I need them.
I'm glad you found them. They're not cheap to replace. So
no.
Yeah, it's been a week. The Last of Us ended. I have not seen any of that show yet. So. I guess we'll leave that for a later date, unless, Earl, you watched any of it.
I've watched it. I haven't finished it yet, but I have watched the current. I've watched up until, I think I'm two episodes behind because this week was the Academy and last weekend I was out. But we will be, I should finish it up soon, I hope.
Tony, have you watched any of it?
I have not watched any of it.
I mean, I hear it's good, so I will get around to it. There's so much TV to watch, so much entertainment to. Sometimes you just don't want to like jump right into something. So that's out there. It seems like it's going to be a fairly good year for video game stuff that's not in video games. I think we have a category. I can't remember exactly what we've named it, but for Game of the Year, basically stuff that's outside of gaming but related to gaming in some way. What is it called? Best Non-Video Gaming Media. That is a very dull title. That is what we named it. There is maybe Mario's coming soon. I'm currently reading a Star Wars book that relates to the Jedi video games. It kind of takes place in between. I don't really know. Like, it's not a video game, but there's that Dungeons & Dragons movie that comes out in 2 weeks that seems like it might be pretty good based on reviews.
Yeah, I'm I'm not surprised, but I am surprised because it is from the guys who did Game Night, which is actually one of those like good. Underrated comedies of recent memory.
I like the trailers for that Dungeons & Dragons movie, but I was like, this could go bad. It looks like it has like a fun sense of humor to it, but like if it's not played well, that could go real bad. But early reviews for it seem very positive, so I'm happy for that. It's been crazy for movies, actually, the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, this month is insane on paper because, I mean, it's not reviewing super well. That's an understatement. She ends out this week. Scream is out last week. I think John Wick is next week. Dungeons and Dragons is the week after that, and Mario's the week after that. So yeah.
It's a busy, busy kind of run of films.
Yeah.
Game wise, nothing really jumped out at me except for there was more bickering back and forth between Microsoft and the regulatory boards, the FTC here in the U.S. and the CMA in Europe. Microsoft hit back at the CMA saying that their calculations are all wrong, and the FTC came back and said they wanted more documentation from Microsoft. I don't know. This stuff is just going on for so long.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I think that's what should happen when a major merger happens. It's like, yes, we should ask all these questions. Because what happens a lot of times recently is the questions get asked after the fact. Why wasn't this like known before we decided to like go ahead and these entities? And, you know, I mean, we see it now with like Facebook and Instagram or all these other things or.
Yep.
So, with that said, though, was there anything this week? I'm trying to think of anything major that would have popped out.
There were some announcements. I guess the Diablo 5 beta is out there. It's live. Not Diablo 5, Diablo 4. In conjunction with that, the Microsoft Activision stuff. They signed a pair of new deals to bring Call of Duty to other platforms for 10 years. I did not hear of the last two. Know what Nvidia is. We know who Nintendo is. These last two are like, I've never heard of them. One is like a Ukrainian streaming company. And another one is some other like little streaming company. So they're out there signing deals with everybody except Sony. So
it is not from a lack of trying.
Yeah, I mean, evidently the guy, the main negotiator, or whatever, he just carries around a contract with him for, you know, if Sony is ever like, we want to sign, he'll just whip it out of his briefcase. I guess I don't. It seems like he says he has it with him at all times, so very weird.
I think it's because it's video game that we're so in the weeds about it, but, and I don't mean we in particular, I mean like the industry, because I mean, this is Disney and Fox, I think that there was a lot of similar stuff, though that, again, that was pushed through, or I think recently, when our ex president was in the office, there was attempts to back the Warner Discovery merger, which just went through last year.
Yes.
So, you know, like that stuff happens, but I think, you know, like people pay more attention to it because it's their gaming. Though that does remind me of I think I said this before. I'm not a huge fan of mega mergers.
Yeah.
I'm even less of a fan of people kind of trading it. Because I'm almost certain, I think IGN put out an article today, and I don't remember. They were like, after X, Y, and Z, this is why we think so-and-so should be next for Sony. And I'm just like,
Because they have no idea what they're talking about.
And it generates clicks, right? Like
you get the outrage and you get the people being like, oh yes, oh no, this is dumb, this is, yeah. But like, I expect that from like a little blog or something like that. I feel like, I mean, I shouldn't, but I feel like IGN should be above it.
Right, because like, what? Why did they don't need to farm clicks? Like they're the most popular gaming website going.
I mean, maybe they do have to farm clicks.
Maybe, maybe we don't know what's going on there.
Oh man, I'm trying to see if I could find it. Maybe it was just something I saw in passing. I was like, I'm not even gonna click on the article. Just because, again, I feel like it's such a scummy thing to say in general, because I think I mentioned this last time. Sorry, it wasn't Sony, it's Microsoft. And they were saying IO Interactive should be the next people Xbox target.
No. they just got out of underneath a huge publisher. Like, let them be independent.
These are people who would, what is the nicest way of saying this? These are the people that would, like, they can't not be in a relationship. And you know those people who's like, oh, they get out of a relationship and right away find another relationship?
Yep.
Because they don't know how to be on their own. That is what they would be. like, love us, appreciate us, acknowledge us.
Let's see what do we got here. Creative Assembly, who Tony is familiar with. They're opening up a third studio to work on some unannounced project. They are the team behind Tony's favorite, their Total War, and they also did the Alien Isolation, which never got a follow-up, but they are now opening a third studio. We don't know what they're going to be working on, but they generally make good games. Let's see, what else? Exoprimal, I think we talked a little bit about that last week, because it got announced that it's coming to Game Pass. That has a beta that is up and available to play now. You wanted to shoot some dinosaurs. I'll just wait for that to come out. I think it comes out in, what, June, July, something like that. So I'll just wait on that. But some other stuff here. A Texas Chainsaw Massacre got announced to come Game Pass in August.
Oh, I was going to say, I know the game. Wait, what?
Yeah, so...
Oh, is that when the game out? I thought it was out soon.
Comes out in August, and it will, I guess they gave it a date, August 18th. Technical test for the game goes live May 25th, so maybe that was a date you heard thrown around.
Oh, no, I think I was just confusing it with Evil Dead, because I was like, isn't this game already? Evil
Dead is out, yes.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, old age and alcohol.
It's Texas Chainsaw is by the Friday the 13th team. That studio. I don't know if it's that team, but it's by that group. That'll be out August 18th coming to Game Pass. I think that'll help with these games. If they like with these asymmetrical multiplayer games, if they don't have a population, they don't stay alive for very long. So just having people have the ability to download and try it should help out a bit with that at the start. And hopefully it's good. What else we got here? Sea of Stars was announced to come to Xbox. That was already coming to PlayStation and PC. That's the prequel to The Messenger. That is... Seems like it might be like a Chrono Trigger-ish. And yes, today they announced that Ghostwire Tokyo, which came out on PlayStation last year, will be arriving on Xbox and Game Pass sometime in April.
And so, nobody saw that coming.
I definitely think we saw that coming.
I was joking. Like, once they bought the studio, I mean,
yeah.
I think the bigger issue was, unlike Death Cube, nobody cared when Ghostwire came out, so nobody's paid attention.
Yeah, so it really fizzled, right?
Yeah, like, I remember when that was announced at E3, and it was like the talk of the show, and people were so, and then I know after that, the creative director after game, and all that other stuff, but it's still so weird that, like, it just kind of came and went just as quickly.
Yeah, and people really kind of loved Deathloop. I did not necessarily love that game either, so we'll see. I will give Ghostwire a shot when it comes out. I mean, why not? It's on Game Pass, so. So Microsoft actually has a pretty decent lineup, I think, through the next few months. They got Minecraft this month?
April.
So they have Ghostwire and Minecraft next month. Then you got a Redfall in May. So they got some stuff coming. PlayStation has Final Fantasy, I think, in May, maybe in June. So there are games coming out, but
yeah,
gotta wait.
It's not a bad first half.
No. Yeah, because Zelda's out in May too. Like, so even Nintendo has a big game. Everyone has a big game, it looks like, through the first half of the year.
I want a big game.
I mean, there's stuff for you, Tony. I mean,
I know I'm playing stuff. It's okay. I'll make it somehow.
Yeah, and they just released Civ 6 on consoles, right? I mean, I think if you were wanted to play Civ, you probably already have, but that's out there if you wanted to try it on console. The Twitch CEO is leaving.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's sad. I was like, I didn't hear anything bad about them, and then hear like a scan news, so I guess they're just leaving.
Yeah, I guess he has a kid now or something, and
I guess you could just like leave without scandal.
Right? It's amazing.
It's nice. Like he's, yeah. I mean Twitch itself has some, you know, issues, and they're constantly in the news, but nothing about him in particular. So that's nice. Good. Go enjoy your family.
Yeah.
Unless you're against that kind of thing, in which case, you know, don't.
Sure.
Well, I mean, based off of some of the reactions I've seen to companies about work from home, I do think some people are against their family.
Yes. And I don't quite know why Polygon has this up here, but they have an article, where to buy Legend of Zelda Amiibo in time for Tears of the Kingdom. So I guess there's like Amiibo related stuff in Tears of the Kingdom.
I was going to ask, does it do something?
I know Breath of the Wild, like, I think it would give you some items or something if you use them.
Okay.
Oh, and they are releasing a Tears of the Kingdom
Amiibo.
Yeah.
Honestly speaking, I'm surprised Amiibo's lasted as long as they have. When you think about, I mean, I think part of it's because they've never been tight. Like, in reality, what was conventional wisdom when they came out, is what saved them, is the fact that it hasn't been tied to a single software.
Yeah.
So it's not been like, oh man, you have to buy this game every year. You just buy them. Like, I assume they probably don't sell as well as they did when they initially came out, but the fact that you can release like half a dozen in a year instead of doing, you know, like Scallions would do dozens and dozens of them every year. So yeah.
Yeah, I think, and some of it, I mean, Nintendo's a little bit better, at least with like Mario stuff. Nintendo doesn't have like a lot of easy to get collectibles in regular retail stores.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, these are, like, neat little figures. They look nice for the most part. Like, I mean, they're not, like, action figures, but, like, you know, it's like, oh, I can get this, like, Mario figure for my kid or something. And maybe it does something in the game that they're playing. So, that's that. Light week for news. What have you guys been playing this week?
You're supposed to play video games this show?
We don't have to.
But no, I am playing. I started tonight and I'm playing now. I think I mentioned last week where I mentioned in this to the group, I picked up Sparks of Hope, which is the new Mario and Rabbids game.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, honestly, so far I'm enjoying it. I think the biggest change to me is the movement system. Since it's not grid-based, you get freedom of movement, and it's not necessary. Your movement and your actions are separate entities. So, like, you can move as much as you... I mean, within a, you know, circle, which you can move as much as you want. You stop moving once you attack. So it's like where you get into position and then attacking. And, so far I would say not radical change with the characters. Like, you know, Luigi's still the sniper, which is weird to say. and Mario still got his dual shooters, and it's still Rabbit, Peach, and whatever. But again, I think I thought the first one of Foundation was a really fun strategy game. I don't think it's the most difficult strategy game in the world, but I think, you know, kind of like Pokemon, I think it's a really fun way to kind of get in to the genre. The characters are fun and goofy, and I think, you know, that I think one of the things with the Mario universe is it's always been easy to kind of poke fun at it, and that's one of its strengths, solid music. The biggest change that threw me for a loop is there's not full, but there's some limited voice acting, and I think Tony played the original. I forgot if Chris did.
I did.
I played the original, yeah.
Okay, but in the original, you have like a sidekick, Beepo.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. That leads you around. Like, yeah. You control Beepo or whatever.
Okay, that is... Okay, that's what I say. I forgot about that. That's the biggest change to me, because you don't follow... You don't... You move on your own. In the overworld, you move on your own. You don't follow that thing. You don't guide. Yeah, because I remember you had to guide the characters with it.
Yeah, like, you controlled the Roomba, and your party followed behind you. So that's yes. Changed. You just control Mario or Peach or whoever.
Yes, you just control whoever is in. Yes, okay, so that's probably the biggest change. But like, the Beepo speaks now, and it's like one of those things where like the voice is so different than what I imagine that it throws me for a loop. Because it's, well, I mean, the voice is, I don't know, it's like, I guess I'm just accustomed to, like, I'm thinking, like, oh, a lot of things tend to do, like, the whole, you know, computer sounds, and it doesn't do that, so that's throwing me, anyway, that's the biggest thing throwing me right now, and then, like, it is weird, because, like, Mario and Luigi aren't voiced, but Rabbid Mario and Rabbid Luigi are. And they give them, I don't know what it is with stuff and like giving people like Flux New York or Brooklyn accents, but like I think one of them it's weird to hear. But yeah, I finished the first world. Well, I had my first boss encounter. I do like that so far. I think a bit of a change from what I remember in the first game is that it's a lot more Mario oriented. Like, you know, like the first few enemies you fight are bombs and Goombas, and then some rabid creatures. But like, if I remember the first game correctly, a lot of that stuff was like you would fight rabbits and like variations on the rabbits.
Yeah, like the
English
you had,
is a
like...
very different language.
Yeah, they were all kinds of. They all seemed like they were kinds of rabbits.
Merged, right? Like, yeah, you would have like the rabid version of the piranha plant or something like that.
Yes, and I think that I think they saved that mostly for the boss encounters, but it is it's fun. And again, I mean, who knows what I will be saying in a few days, but right now I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying the game.
So you said the movement around the world has changed. Like, is there anything more to do? Because I thought that was something that the first one had. Like, it was like the world was kind of boring. Like, there was only really you could just go collect coins, and there was an occasional chest that you could get to. Is there stuff to do in the open world, or is it really just like walking from one encounter to another?
Okay, so far from what I gathered, there are a few minor things you can do. There might be like little puzzles you solve, or you know, like there's like, oh, you folks have not played Platoon. What was I gonna say? Because there's sometimes like little goop stuff that you have to interact with, and okay. it adds something to the game, and that to your point, like yes, I think I remember in the original, yeah, you just ran around and there was no real rhyme or reason, but in this one you there's like little challenges that pop up here and there that you can use. So far, that's been working.
Okay.
It'll be stuff like the ones I've seen so far. It's like, okay, like there's a cannon. You have to like get this, you know, like you find the gate entrance to the cannon. You activate the cannon and then you go into the cannon and you retrieve an orb, which you have to bring back to a different location. Or there's like kind of like 2D Mario's, the red coins. So that will pop up and you have to run and you'll have to like run and get the 8 coins before time runs out, or like the bundle of green coins or something like that.
Got it. One other question. So you mentioned that they changed the kind of the combat movement or like order, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So before, like you could, because it was grid-based and you basically worked on, like, an AP system, so, like, you had a certain amount of action points to use, you could run up, get behind cover, shoot, like, the rabbit that's over on the right, and then maneuver yourself to another piece of cover to provide, like, overwatch for another character that you were gonna move. Like, sounds like now you just like you do your movement and pick where you want to like do your action from, and then you're stuck there, or can you do multiple steps?
I mean, it's kind of the same thing. So like basically your movement doesn't have action points, so you're free to move around within a spare. You have your side, which is its own action point. You have your team jump, which is its own action point. And then you have your, you have your basic move, you have your special move, and then now they added the Umis from Super Mario Galaxy. So now you also have, like, you can enhance your turn with these Umis. Like, one I have right now, it gives fire damage for 3 turns while it's active. Another one, it will give 30% of damage you take back to the enemies. And stuff like that. So you have that as well. Those are all on their own. So like the special attack, each one has its own cooldown. So like your healing might be like it's like you have to wait 3 turns to use it again. Your attack, your base attack you always have, the Umis is active throughout the turn, and then I think it has a cooldown after the fact. And then you have item blocks as well. So you can get items to use that will, you know, will vary, I guess, depending on what you need. But yeah, so it's more, I guess, what am I trying to say? It's more tied into what you are, what your strategy around something's going to be versus Just like, okay, I have X number of actions. Because even after you stop moving, you can still attack. Well, you can't attack because you stopped attacking. But like, you could still, what am I trying to say? You can still like activate your special, or you could still, I don't know how you'd activate the humans, but you could still use an item if you're like, if you're a musician and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So there are some of that.
Okay. You play anything else?
No. We best Streets of Rage 2. I bested for the first time yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was weird.
With other people, or
yeah,
yeah.
I think just because I had never beaten it before. Yeah, final bosses, whatever. And I was about to say, we actually didn't even cheese the NSO system. We pure, wholesome, like God intended.
Nice. Well, congrats on that. Tony, you play anything over the past week?
So I finally broke. Company of Heroes came out last month.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews were decent, not great. It was pretty clear from what they were saying that some of the systems weren't quite finished when the game came out. So I was trying to like hold off as long as I could before purchasing it. So I made it about 3 weeks. I'm really proud of myself. But I bought it last Thursday, Friday. So I could finally get into it. There are some very interesting changes here. I'm really into, as you guys know, and we've mentioned previously on this episode, I'm really into the Total War games.
Yeah.
The promise of this game was a sort of World War II era Total War-esque feel to the campaign. Basically, you are controlling forces invading Italy during World War II. You control companies on this overmap, and you move these companies around, and they kind of function the same way that armies do in Total War. So you move them around the map and try to conquer Italy. There are like strong points and like towns you can besiege. And then there are enemy companies. And when one of your companies meets up with an enemy company, there's a battle. And in the sort of, you know, Total War-esque thing, so you got that turn-based campaign where the two meet in the battle, and then you move to the RTS portion of the game, which is, you know, a classic Company of Heroes-esque battle. There's a couple of different kinds. There's like, if the enemies attack you, you'll have like a defensive engagement. There are meeting engagements where you're fighting over points in the middle. There are other ones where like there's a scripted battle to take over a city, and you'll have to like capture strong points within the city. It's an interesting campaign so far. The AI doesn't seem to do anything unless there's like a scripted event. It's so you're not like facing against an opponent. Like, there's really no opponent in the actual strategic campaign. When you're in like a Total War game, normally you have all these other factions. Each faction is trying to fight in its own interest and moving its armies around. Unless that army is in like a scenario where it says you have to defend Salerno from attack, they won't try to attack your stuff with their companies. They'll just sit there.
A little weird.
Which is a little weird. On the other hand, like, I don't care so much. It's kind of nice to like move things around on the map and like move companies so they're in supporting distance of each other. You can build aircraft and send them flying over. And then you just fight a little RTS battle. So if you think of it less as a campaign where you're fighting against an opponent, and more of like a vehicle for giving you these little RTS battles over and over and over again, I think that's probably, you're probably having a happier experience.
All right, that makes more sense. Like, we've given you this overworld, but it's not real. Like, instead of, you know, if you're playing StarCraft or Warcraft, right? Like, you would just go, there's maybe a hub in between, but you just pick the next mission, and this is like, you can now drive to your next mission or fly there or something.
Right, exactly. And there are, so you're controlling your forces. There are two commanders who are like rivals who are making suggestions to you about what to do. Should you take this city first or take that city first? And if you pick one suggestions over the others, eventually you'll start getting bonuses from him. So it's definitely like kind of a less strategic warfare and more like a RPG choice that you're making.
And so if you like, if you choose to go direction of the one general, does like that other general side, like his decision, like that city falls or whatever. So now.
Right.
Okay.
Or you'll get air units instead of naval units or something like that. Like there's something that will happen.
So it gives it a reason to go back and like it. It makes it a little more dynamic, so it's not just the same campaign next time you play. Like, you have a couple different choices. Like, it's still similar, but...
Right. Well, I mean, and historically, the Company of Heroes RTS campaigns were just literally a set of RTS battles.
That's they're just missions, yeah.
And the other cool thing is, like, you can move things into supporting distance of each other, so you can move your ships close to shore. And so for this battle... you'll have naval gunfire support. Or maybe you flew a recon plane over this area. So now during this battle, you can call in the recon plane and see parts of the map you couldn't see otherwise. So that kind of stuff kind of changes how the battles work.
And are the battles like tactical? Like do you control individual units? And do they have different actions? Or is it more like you take your mouse, you draw a box over five guys and point attack this target.
So I guess you bring your company into battle. This gives you a certain set of units based on the company that it is, which is the other cool thing about moving the companies around. So maybe you have a company of paratroopers, so you can literally drop paratroopers down on the map. Or the one I like is the, I've been using the... Indian Artillery Company, because it includes these really powerful mortar units, and it also includes Gurkhas, who can like throw all these grenades at once. But basically, you have groups of units. So, and depending on the unit, it's like it might be three guys, it might be six guys. It really depends on, like, a machine gun section is four guys, an infantry unit is like six guys or whatever. And you send them out to fight, and you do sort of, you know, mouse over control where they go. But it is a group of unit that you're moving around. So that is very Total War-esque, I guess. Okay. If you want to.
Nice.
And the units can take casualties, and if they're being shot out from the wrong direction, they can get pinned down. In the middle of the battle, you can actually call them back. You can like order them to rout, and they'll run all the way back to your command post. Where you can like heal them and add units back or add men back into the units to get them back up to full strength and send them back out again, which I really like as a mechanic. Like in so many RTS games, it's like, oh, the unit's getting damaged, just leave it out there till it dies. But this kind of encourages you to pull them back because they can gain, they call it veterancy.
Mm-hmm.
So as the units like fight in the RTS battle, they'll get experience, which will unlock like better abilities and better stats. So that's cool. They added a really cool feature to the game. It really bugs me that there's so many RTS games that don't have this. But if you're playing the game in single player, you can pause at any time.
Ooh, that's
and
nice.
like issue orders from the pause menu. That is very Total War. Like, the Total War single player has always allowed you to do that. almost every other RTS on the market, you can't stop time for any reason. They don't. They turn that off if you're playing like competitive multiplayer or whatever. But like it kind of just makes this experience for me just so more relaxed. Mm-hmm. There's no way, like, the battlefields are too big. There's no way you can pay attention to what's going on everywhere. And it's also nice to be able to, like, set things up. So, like, you order the machine gun to move over here, and you order these guys to go around the flank, and you order these guys to throw smoke so that the enemy can't see them moving to the flank. And you can, like, then hit play and see all that take place. Which kind of increases the spectacle of the game. Like, it's much more fun to watch. Whereas previously you'd spend so much time paying attention to what your troops were doing and, like, what they were going to do and, like, let's run back to the headquarters and build out some guys, and you miss all the cool bits, like all the explosions and the tanks that are dueling it out. You'd never actually see it. And that pause function really, really enables you to, like, enjoy that visceral experience a lot more.
Nice. That's out on PC, right?
Yeah, that's currently only out on PC. I don't think either of the games ever made to consoles. Although, was it Sudden Strike?
Yeah.
Which is the other RTS. Was one of the Game Pass games, or Game Pass games with gold games, like, last month.
Yes.
So if you're really looking for a World War II RTS on console, it is there.
Well, this one sounds pretty good. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah,
do RTS every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, it's a nice change, and I do love that pause feature. It really makes it a lot more playable, and less hardcore if that's what you're looking for.
Nice. Play anything else, or just mostly World War II?
Mostly World War II, a little bit of Merge and Blade. I'm trying to beat. There's a roguelike mode, which is so hard, and I can't beat it. But maybe one day.
The there's like a regular campaign for that though, right? Like.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and you finished that? Yes.
Yeah, I finished that a while ago. All right. Now I'm trying other things.
I know it was amusing that in our personal chat we had talked about it on this show last week, and then our buddy Walt mentioned hey, I found the next cool Game Pass game.
I guess we talked about it on the show.
Tony had already found it and beaten it, I think, by that point.
Yes, at that point.
But yeah, that's one I will attempt to get to. I have not played anything new, but I have played a bunch of Rare Replay, just, you know, that collection of Rare games. And in that, I've actually gone through a bunch of their stuff. The big one I kind of want to just touch on is Perfect Dark, which you can play outside of that collection as well. It is available on the 360, backwards compatible on the Series X and Xbox One. That game is still really great. I know we talked about GoldenEye earlier this year, and how, like, doesn't hold up. Right, it's still fun. Like. But, like, you look at some of those levels. Like, there's a level in this in a Soviet park that just has, like, the design of that level is ridiculous. There's, like, crates in the middle of the park, and then there's, like, we're just gonna have weird statues of the hammer and sickle, like, in, like, a couple corners, because we don't actually know how to design this park. Like, it's just we're gonna put imagery that reflects that it's the Soviet Union, but it doesn't actually reflect anything that you'd inhabit in real life. Perfect Dark is just phenomenally put together, though. I think, like, the levels are great. It's fully voice acted. I'm sure it was on the N64. I just don't remember it. And then on this 360 version, which, you know, backwards compatible, It now runs at 60 frames a second. It like runs super smooth. It's kind of perfect. That game's great. And I think if you enjoy old school shooters, Perfect Dark is one that you should definitely go back and revisit, because it is really fun. The missions are that style that GoldenEye has, where it's like, here are some objectives, and you have to complete those objectives to advance to the next level. So it's a little more complicated than some shooters today, where it's, you know, we just, you know, Call of Duty game, where you just go from point A to point B, shooting everybody in the process. This is sometimes you have to protect a person. It's a shitty escort mission, or you have to go through and shut down an alien ship, or you know, go through a submarine area and disconnect things in there before you can move on to the next area. It's like neat way of design. It's kind of a shame that franchise has been dead now since the beginning of the 360. I know they have a game in development, but it would be really nice to bring it back.
Or for that game to actually make it out of development hell.
Yeah, like that would be wonderful, because that was the not the was it the initiative. I think the maybe I don't remember. Yeah, I think it's the initiative is the team that's working on it. And evidently they were not doing such a great job and had to outsource a lot of it to Crystal Dynamics, which gives me confidence. I really like Crystal Dynamics games, so but we'll see how that ends up. And unfortunately I did not get to them, but I have a slew of kart racers to kind of touch on. And one I'll be talking about, I guess, on the show, and probably maybe the next week or so, is a game called Emoji Kart.
Emoji Kart,
which just came out. I got an email in our in the Critically Sane box that was like, Emoji Kart's out. It's like,
yeah, yes.
What is this? Like, so I looked at it. It looks like you're dry. The characters are emojis. And so I sent the PR guy an email. I was like, hey, any chance I get a review code for this? Like, I'll talk about it on the main podcast, and I'll even do an episode on the kart racing show that I'm doing. And then I thought he was like, yeah, I'll have one for you Monday. And then Monday came, no code. Tuesday came, no code. I was like, he like looked into it. It was like, it's not worth sending a code out, especially since the two reviews that are out there are terrible so far. But he came through with a code for me today. I'm gonna give it its fair shot. I doubt it, but I hope there's a poop emoji that I can drive.
There's gotta be. There's gotta be. Maybe it's like, the bad guy.
How do you do emoji kart? It's emoji kart racer. Sorry, that's the actual title. How do you do an emoji themed kart racer though, and not have the poop emoji? Like, you have to. So I'm looking forward to that. There's a free kart racer that is currently out there. Just hit Xbox and PlayStation. I will tell you what that I'm gonna download that one. That one is called Kart Rider Drift. That's free. It's free to play. I'm gonna give that a go as well. And then I just found out that that Disney one, Disney Speedway, that was announced last year, that I thought was supposed to come out last year, that is launching into early access early next month. So I'll have lots of kart racing to talk about. I don't know how much of it's going to be good kart racing, but I will have some kart racing to talk about.
Here we go. Here comes Speed Racer. There's no Speed Racer kart racer, is there?
No, and that seems like a wasted opportunity, right? Like, it's literally a IP built around driving. Why is there no? There has to be a, maybe not a kart racer. There has to be a speed racer video game, though, right?
You would think.
Speed Racer, the video game. Let's see. This was, it came out 2008 on the Wii and the Nintendo DS and the PlayStation 2.
How did we all miss that?
I don't know. Miss it? I don't know. This is the second Speed Racer game. There is one on the PlayStation, the original PlayStation, just called Speed Racer. It is an arcade type racing game, though, which makes sense. And the Speed Racer, the video game that was on Wii and PlayStation 2, is similar to F-Zero. That makes sense. I don't know if Kart Racer fits for Speed Racer, but an F-Zero type game kind of checks it out. Yeah. I think there's a Tetris movie coming out in the end of March.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's out there.
Much like Gran Turismo, and I think we touched about this before, it's not a movie. It's a movie about the making of Tetris. So, from what I understand, it's actually a really interesting story. It's just super weird because, like, that is not what I would have pegged for.
Are you saying it doesn't fit?
Wow.
Oh, Tony. Yeah, Earl, I'm actually happy they went with this as opposed to trying to make, like, Tetris fit into the real world somehow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like, what would you have, like, blocks that attack you? I don't know how that would work.
Well, that's why I would be fascinated by it. How would it work?
Yeah. The story of how Tetris got brought over to America and licensed actually is very interesting. There is there's some, like, web documentaries out there on it. From what I hear, this film pretty good. So I'm kind of looking forward to that when it comes out. It'll be on Apple TV at the end of March. So we'll give that a go. And I wanted to. So Jeff introduced me to this nonsense last week, where the presidents were making, like, a parody of the presidents making a tier list for Zelda.
Oh, yeah, it's the AI stuff, right?
Yeah, I think so. Which I found quite amusing, but I thought, if all of us were here, and, it makes sense. We all have pretty good experience with Mario, that we could do one of them.
I thought you were going to say we had experience with presidents.
I mean, I guess we do. We've all voted for presidents at some point in time.
You don't know my eye.
I have seen your post where you said you voted.
Okay, you know what?
Either you're a liar. Or you have some experience.
I need that social cut.
No, I figured we have experience with Mario. I don't really know what other series we all have, an intimate connection with that we could discuss most of the games.
Europa Universalis, obviously.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
Chris, it's only just talking around it.
There's only four of them, though, so Tony. Like, I mean, I guess we add all the expansions.
Right. Right. Plus, there's some spin-offs. I'm just saying.
I don't know if that would make for an entertaining debate, but
I think it would make for an interesting one. As me and Chris are like, wait, what? That's an actual game, Wait, did that actually happen?
And Jeff just disconnects. Like,
Jeff's like, I'm leaving. I'll see you guys later.
Not even sticking around for this. But maybe when Jeff gets back, we'll take a look at the. I would take the core Mario series, because if you go to Wikipedia and say Mario video game,
oh god,
I think it ends up being over 200 games. So
yeah, I think he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for most appearances. It has to be well over 300 now.
It's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you can limit it to, like, I mean, with Mario alone, you could do a cart. Though I feel like cart wouldn't be fun because I feel like everybody's gonna say not Double Dash. Deluxe as the best one, which correct answer?
Yeah, but... sure. It would be interesting to see where people fall on some of the other ones. But yeah, I'm not sure that Mario Kart lends itself to good debate.
What I was going to say is I feel like it should be divided into 2D and 3D.
Hmm. I mean, there's probably enough of both that you could do a tier list.
Because, yeah, there's what? There's 64 Sunshine, 2 Galaxies, 3D and 3D World Odyssey. So that's 7, if my finger math is correct. And then you have what? 1, 2, 3 World, maybe Yoshi, and then 4 new Super Mario Brothers games.
Yeah.
And I guess if you wanted to be really finicky, you can also do what is that stuff called? The Game Boy Advance ones.
Oh, Super Mario Land the Game Boy Advance ones.
Super Mario Brothers. Really, the only one I guess that matters for is 3, because Super Mario Advance 4 Super Mario Brothers 3, which I hate that name with a passion, is...
Wait, how do you feel about it, Earl?
Oh my god. This is so dumb. Like, you have a number system. Why is that the fourth game? It's really called 3. Anyhow, my personal animosity aside.
Yeah, why is it called that? It's so dumb.
Especially being that, like, that Super Mario... I believe that Super Mario Advance 9, and I could be wrong. It's not actually in Super Mario Brothers 1. So, Super Mario
Advance. Super Mario Advance series.
Okay, so Super Mario Advance 1 is Super Mario Brothers 2.
Mm-hmm.
Super Mario Advance 2 is Super Mario World. Super Mario Advance 3 is Yoshi's Island. And Super Mario Advance 4 is Super Mario Brothers 3. So 2 is 1.
Just all out of order.
4 is 2. 5, I guess, is 3. And 3 is 4. So yes. Yes. Perfect logistical, sense from our good friends at Nintendo.
Yeah, I think we can avoid the Super Mario Advance stuff. They're basically other games that would end up on the list anyway. So,
yeah, that's why, like I said, the only reason I would always say 3 is because 3 has like 70 some odd levels that aren't in other games in the series or something.
Okay.
I forget the, but I've actually never played them. So,
would you count the? What were the building games?
Oh, Mario Maker?
Yeah.
I was going to ask. I mean, I think they should count.
Yeah.
If anything, I would count 2, because 2 definitely has its own content.
Yeah, there's a campaign there.
Yeah.
It's a campaign designed to kind of teach you how to build stuff, to make your own levels and populate their...
Still a campaign.
Yeah, it's a campaign. You can play through it. All right. Well, let's explore that when Jeff gets back. I don't know what other series we could do in that fashion, but I think
Zelda would be the easy one. Honestly speaking, I would be fascinated with Halo. I think we've all engaged with that franchise. And
there's a good amount of Halo games.
Yeah, what is? I mean, there's what, 7, 8 core ones.
So there's Halo. There's one, 6 main line, right? And then there's
ODST,
ODST and... Reach, and then the 2 Halo Wars games. So technically 10. There's also There's also some offshoots. There's like that arcade game that you guys probably never played. Fire Team Elite. And then there's the two twin stick shooters that you might not have played either. But yeah, I mean, Halo could be fun. That's some one that we definitely all have experience with. Yeah, well, maybe we'll kick off with Mario. Because, I mean, the Mario movie is coming out soon.
Got to get this SEO up.
Tony, how much experience do you have with Zelda outside of, you know, the early ones and a few of the more recent ones?
Not a ton. Not really my thing.
Maybe we skip Zelda. I mean, Jeff would definitely have strong opinions on Zelda.
No.
I think they'd be wrong, but... I don't know. Earl seems to agree with Jeff on some of this Zelda stuff. So
I feel like I wouldn't agree with Jeff on, like, I will defend Breath of the Wild on certain stuff, but like, yeah, I'd be very fascinated, I think, because I think my ranking compared to what traditionally considered great Zelda games now, like Breath of the Wild, I don't think would be in my top three. I don't even know if it would be my top five, and I know that would cause issues. Ocarina of Time's not a tie. Ocarina of Time is usually when I get the most crap for, because that's not near the top of my list.
Not near the top of mine either. We might actually be more aligned than I thought. I don't think any Zelda's bad. It's just I tend to have I have more affinity for the 2D Zelda.
Yeah.
3D Zelda.
And the problem with me and Ocarina is like, I think Twilight Princess, like, yes, I understand, but Twilight Princess, Wind Waker, even Skyward Sword, I think does it better. And it's supposed to, but I think it does it better, so.
Yep. All right. Well, maybe we bring that one in. Tony, you will be away in June. Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. So maybe we will do a Zelda special in June.
I like this idea.
When Tony's away, the kids will play.
Yeah. we'll bring out the franchises. Tony's like, I have no interest in that.
What's Zelda? Who?
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Unfortunately, still nothing really new out for us. Resident Evil comes out next week, but not till Friday, so it'll be after we record. And then Jeff and I will have some commentary on that. There is some stuff coming, but still it's a little bit longer of a wait. But we will have something. Hopefully, Jeff will be back. And if he is, we will we'll explore either 2D or 3D Mario. See how that goes. Earl, say goodnight.
Good night. Fight well. And oh wait, happy St. Patty's Day. That will be tomorrow. So yeah. I'm not gonna say anything offensive. I don't need to be canceled. I know I've learned that a lot of Irish people do not act the stereotypes around St. Patty's Day. yeah, just not going to say anything, but yes, you do what you feel most comfortable with on St. Patrick's Day, however you choose to celebrate it.
Wait, murder.
Oh, Jesus. I don't want to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with Tony.
Or maybe you do. I mean, it's better to celebrate with him than have him celebrate.
Yeah,
that's true. Do you want to be the celebration?
He's out there purging. All right, we'll be back next week then.